The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Final hour of the final show of the final week of May. Yes, there's a little bit of May left, but this is it. This is the last Friday in May. George Brocker with you on the George Show, 710 KNUS. Get outside and enjoy the weather while you can. 75 degrees high. Maybe you're going out to those baseball playoffs at All City or All State. I'm going to be there as well today. And then whatever the championship is, I'm hoping one of those Dugco teams makes it. Thunderstorms later on today. It says storms likely. That continues now until the foreseeable graphic here from our friends at Denver 7 on the Super 7-Day Guest Cast Forecast. I'm sorry, forecast. Tomorrow 77, 78, and then 80 degrees on Monday. Listen, this topic kind of came out of nowhere. I printed this little policy thing off from CU Boulder, my alma mater, a couple weeks ago, and I thought this was just very interesting to me because it talks about the pronouns that should be used. This is from the Division of Student Affairs Center for Inclusion and Social Change. They want to change society. And one of the things they say is that you should never presume anyone's pronouns, no matter what they look like or anything like that. So you should start with either introducing yourself and saying, these are my pronouns, or you can ask them, and the example they give is, hey, what are your pronouns, as long as you keep it polite. There are things I learned in this recommended policy thing here, too, like the general neutral ones, pronouns are they or Z, which is Z-E. And there's also Z, Zier, and Zeers. And I think they screwed up on the final example, but what do I know? They went from Z is calling, Zier family is nice, that car is Zier's. When in doubt, ask the person herself. I think they meant Zierself, but I don't know. I'm not the one that proofread this thing. But here's the catch. If you choose to use some other pronouns or ignore someone's requested pronouns, this particular CU-endorsed guide says it's not only an act of oppression, but it can also be considered an act of violence. You know what violence is? Like when you get punched in the face or kicked in the knee or threatened with a knife or a gun. Those things are violence. But now, too, is failing or refusing to acknowledge somebody's claimed pronouns that they want. And it's really, I can't tell you that we've ever had more text than we've had right here. And we've got phone calls, too, and you join the conversation. Here's a couple things I want to know. Is this crazy or is this, I mean, like Ben from Morrison? Ben was like, you're an ass if you don't do it. You're just being rude and disrespectful. You should just do it. And based on the idea that it doesn't cost you anything. But then when I asked him, well, if I wanted you to refer to me as African-American or call me that, would you? He said, I wouldn't do it at first because it's silly. Now think about that. Ben's initial reaction is, that's silly, I wouldn't do it. And then he thought, well, wait. If it makes you feel better, then I would do it. And then, of course, I'd mock you behind your back and I'd say that's really stupid, which is something I presume he would not do on this gender and sex issue. So it's interesting. There are just some things you have to tolerate from someone else and some you don't. Remember, too, we're in an environment where, especially like in an educational environment and teachers, they are discouraged from putting up anything about their religious affiliation, especially if it's Christian. And pushing that in conversations, there are just certain lines we draw. But when it comes to the gender and the sex thing, if you don't acknowledge them, it's oppressive, it's an act of violence, and you're just being a jerk. And so some of the questions I've asked is, when you encounter this in your life, what do you do with this? Do you do it out of respect? I think I would. I guess I have in the past. I mean, somebody texted in here and said, I hope that the court, here it is. The court should honor gender requests as there's likely some appearance of discrimination or potential basis for appeal if they don't. Also, doing so is just professionalism, I'd hope from the professionalism. I mean, what if you showed up and despite your legal name, you said, I just want to be called Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo. Is it professionalism for the court to do that? Is that an appellate issue? And how is it discrimination to not refer to someone as something they are not? I just don't see how that's even an appellate issue. I don't see how it shows discrimination, but that's a great question. Is it discrimination to not refer to someone the way they tell you to refer to them gender wise? I mean, and again, I don't see this happening, but this is what this guideline and this kind of recommendation from a texter would say. Guy comes up to you 100%. How about a woman? Woman comes up to you, dressed like a woman, acting like a woman. It is so clearly a woman. And she comes up to you and says in a womanly voice, I want to be referred to as Steve, and I want you to refer to me by he and him. If you don't do it, it's an act of oppression and an act of violence. And it seems to me you're not even in a position to question their credibility or their sincerity. So some dude is just screwing around on campus and is like, today I'm Walinda and I want to be referred to as she and her. You're stuck, man. You can't second guess that person. You can't ignore their requests, because ignoring the request is also an act of oppression and violence, according to this. Someone texted in here. Okay. Billy, this is a question to Billy. Billy, people who insist you use certain pronouns are the ones behaving in a hurtful and intimidating manner. Nobody should have to bow down to something they don't believe in. Joe from Arvada started to touch on it. It's about God. The ridiculous pronoun thing is just another way of moving us away from God. I'm with you, George. People can be and do what they want, but they can't expect everyone else to live in their made-up world. Billy's got his hand up.
Yeah, question.
Potty time?
Why? No, I'm just curious why we'd bring God into the discussion, because that means that my religion needs to dictate what everybody else believes. There may be people in this conversation that do not ascribe to the same Christian God that you and I do. And that was part of the discussion with Joe, that if someone believes in multiple gods, there's over a billion Hindus on the planet. Does their opinion not matter because I have to turn back to them and say, no, my God says this, so this is what I'm going to do? That seems to me to be a little bass-ackwards.
I wonder what the Hindu position on this would be anyway. I don't know. I don't think you have to have this conversation, though, in the context of religion, because I do think,
it
ends up becoming a distraction. And you've pointed out right there, like, what if someone is Jewish or they're Muslim or Shinto or something like that? It becomes a distraction to the broader point of, listen, you either think that certain things are facts and you're not going to let someone else's reality dictate to you those facts, or out of a sense of respect in civil society, you're going to call people what they ask you to call them. Here's another one. The new LGBTQIA plus trans pronouns have been around since 2012 or so, and it's a very big deal in BVSD. No one is required yet to ensure proper usage, but teachers can be called out by counseling, especially if a student is upset with a teacher, even forgetting a student's pronoun. Yep, this has been going on for at least 4 to 5 years. Hard enough to remember names, much less 255 plus possible pronouns. Don from Lakewood, you're on 710 KNUS. Don, what do you think?
Oh, I think a lot, George, about you.
Oh, this is going to get awkward. Are you going to talk about this topic, or are you going to talk about me?
No, I'm going to talk about a couple of topics. I called in earlier, but I was at the doctor and had to go in, so I had to hang up. You were talking about calling people names earlier.
I don't know. You're going to have to remind me. I don't remember that.
Yeah, you're talking about people calling people nicknames.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, do you think that's correct to do that to people?
Nicknames? I don't have a problem with nicknames.
Well, what if it's hurtful?
I suppose if you're doing it to hurt them or to diminish them, then it...
Go ahead. What if that person says, you called me something other than my name, you're being hurtful?
It could be true. I suppose it could be true. Okay. And by the way, nicknames aren't things you pick for yourself. Other people pick them for you.
Let me finish, okay? No, you pick stuff out, okay? Here's a classic example. I called in, hi, Scarface.
Yeah.
Remember that a couple weeks ago?
I don't.
And I go, well, Potts, sure you do.
I don't remember it, buddy.
You don't forget that. A lot of my customers and friends called up. They're laughing their butt off. At any rate, be a little careful about what you put out, because that one came back on you with me personally. I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you call me, but don't sit there and talk about people using nicknames and being hurtful, and you pick and choose. Well, you don't get to do that. You do one or the other. Now, moving forward with Ben, guy's a moron. I was born.
Ben's
in South
thoughtful,
Africa.
Man. I might disagree with Ben, but you can't call him a moron. He's not dumb.
Yes, I can. Listen,
he's not dumb.
Yeah, he is. He's a narcissist.
He's educated,
but he's an idiot. I'll give you a good example. Okay? You think African American and you think black. Well, that's totally incorrect. That was all a big hoax put out by Jesse Jackson and Richard Nixon when they identified people in the early 70s by Hispanics, African Americans, and Caucasian. Okay? So, not only me, I got a good friend of mine's dad, an ambassador. On his birth certificate, he's African American. He holds dual citizenship, and he's whiter than you and me. You know how many white people are in Africa?
Hard to imagine. No, I don't.
The British that settled in Cape Town and all the other places, tons of white people. They're all African American.
Yeah.
So when this guy starts putting, well, I'm not going to call you African American, why not? He doesn't know you. You could be African American.
So get to the point, though. What is your thing on this discussion? Where are you with the CU Office of Inclusion and Social Change or whatever it is?
They're all nuts. We bow down and cow to these people. We've been doing it for years, and this is where we're at now. This didn't just start yesterday. This has been going on for decades.
What do you do,
just
though,
like to, it just keeps
when
growing.
You encounter someone, Don, door, who's transgender or transvestite, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah, like how do you address them? Like if someone came up to you dressed like a female, but you think they're a dude, and they say, I want to be referred to as she and hers.
I've got customers that come in
okay.
here.
Okay, and what do you do with that?
They go by whatever day the wind's blowing. There'll be a guy's name one day, and they'll come in and address the next day.
Okay.
I go with whatever they want.
Why?
I don't care. But don't tell me I
but
have
But why do you
to.
Do it?
Because I like them as a person. But I don't do that for everybody. Okay? I think this is really an issue that, just like everything else, you start bending rules, you start bending laws, sooner or later, it gets way out of hand. How come nobody respects the law? First of all, you can't enforce a lot of them. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough police. You got too many attorneys getting people off on things because of technicalities. I go on and on about this.
I see where you're going, Don, but it's a little far afield.
Why don't you stand up to the CU people and go up and say, hey, I'm George Brocker. I don't agree with this. Have you done that?
Nope.
Why not? You're a graduate.
Just don't have time.
Talk about yours to you. Well, make the time. This is important.
Well, listen, I've done more than drive up there and say I'm having a conversation about it for hours with other Coloradans and other people who call in. That's much more effective than walking up and announcing this is who I am.
And go up there and tell them what you think. Tell them, listen, I'm a voice on the radio. Are you people listening? They're probably not listening to you.
Yeah,
I don't know why Ben listens to you. You know, he seems to have a thing about conservatives. Oh, excuse me, Republicans.
Ben's a thoughtful dude. Billy says he doesn't listen either. Ben's a thoughtful dude. But, Don, I don't understand your point in saying, why don't you go up there and say something? How does that address this particular issue? I thought the most salient
because
part of your conversation
never say
was...
Anything.
No, keep going.
People never stand up and disagree. So they just roll you, and they roll you, and they roll you.
Well, listen, I disagree a lot. None of my kids are going to see you. I wish I could tell you that was different or that was a decision I made. It wasn't, but none of my kids are going there. I don't go there. I don't donate to them for a lot of these kinds of reasons and others too. But I'll go up and see a ball game this year. That's for sure. That'll probably help. But Don, at the end of the day, the most salient thing you said, I think, to this conversation was when you said, I will call my customers whatever they want to be called because I like them as a person. That's the big thing, right?
I also said I don't do that for all of them. Some of them,
well, I know. Some of them you don't like
us. Get out of my business.
Yeah.
Tell them leave.
No,
we don't agree. We're not on the same wavelength. Leave.
I get it.
No, leave. Get off my property.
But my best guess too is if you had a brand new customer who presented as a man dressed like a woman, you would also defer to being respectful to their wishes, right?
You're talking to somebody who, when people call me as a new customer, I tell them they got to be vetted. And when they say, well, what does that involve? I said, I have one question. And they say, well, what's that? I said, do you like anything Joe Biden's done? And if they say anything positive, I tell them, You're a communist. You're the problem with my life. Don't call me again.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that,
I
Don. It's very different than this.
I don't need the business. Well, that's the problem. You know, you don't know how to respond. Well,
I don't know how to respond to that point being made in this conversation. I mean,
you asked me a question about a new customer.
I did. I didn't ask you about your vetting process. I just asked you if you had a new customer that
showed
up.
How I deal with.
I know,
people.
But buddy, so that person tells you I don't like Joe Biden either. You say, come on in here, I'll take your money. And they walk in, and they're a dude dressed like a lady, and they say, yeah, but
I don't have a problem with that.
Don, I'm just trying to get you to the point where you would default to being respectful to them if they can get through your I hate Joe Biden screening process. Is that fair?
No.
It's not fair.
I ask them. They're not going to get through my vetting process. I tell them, I've gotten rid of a lot of toxic customers, trust me. You know, they come in, they see I have a red hat on turned backwards because I'm from Nebraska. They get all butthurt, they think, Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so much crazy-ass stuff out of people, you know. And I know I'd like to hear Ben's pronouns. I could think of a few, but out of respect
I'm sure Ben goes by he and him, and he would tell you that's my choice.
I think he probably goes by butt and plug.
I don't think that's – but that's not accurate. That doesn't even make sense. It is. It's a little juvenile too. But
you missed it. You missed it, George. Listen,
I
have any more time for this. Have a good one. We'll catch you in a week or two.
You know what? This is new and frankly welcome. Don ends the call. Thank you for that. I guess the questions became too challenging. I appreciate where Don was going initially, and then somehow we got into I ask people if they like Joe Biden. That wasn't the point. And the point was, and you heard it, it was, is Don the kind of guy that if someone showed up after they get through whatever screening process he has and they showed up dressed like a woman but they were a dude, would he default to treating them the way he thinks they want to be treated based on their presentation? And my best guess is Don would. I think Don would, despite all the other stuff that he says and then the knocks on Ben, which are unwarranted and frankly, I believe untrue. I think Ben's a very thoughtful, smart guy. We just don't see things the same way. I mean, if everybody that disagrees with me is stupid, we're on a planet full of stupid people. You know, I don't think I could deal with that. Nonetheless, I'm going to cut away for a break. Don's line is open, 303-696-1971. I got so many texts to try to get through that you guys have generated. I want to get through that too. Before I do that, I want to tell you about a guy named Dan Kaplis. Dan is a superstar in the trial world on behalf of victims. And I got to say this only because we're here at this topic. Dan would not care. I believe this. Dan would not care if you were a man or a woman or you identified as something else. And I happen to know that firsthand from some other stuff that we had worked on together. Dan doesn't care about that. Dan's bottom line is, are you a person who someone else has hurt? Do you have a righteous case? And are you a good person? I mean, that's really it, man. And then this guy will invest his efforts, his expertise, his experience. Same thing with Babar Wahid, his partner. They'll invest their office resources, which are formidable, by the way, into trying to help you. Because at the end of the day, man, everybody is one of God's kids. And people who are victimized by somebody else need a champion. And Dan Kaplis is that champion. So you pick up the phone and you call him at 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551, or you can check him and Bobber out at Bobber Law. Actually, that's a pretty awesome name. DanKaplisLaw.com, Dan Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, law.com. When we come back, Todd and everybody else on hold, as well as the text here, I'm going to try to get through these. Stick around. George Brockler, George Show, 710 KNUS.
No, but but the idea is that it's changing, that the arc of history bends toward change.
George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. Got callers on the line. I want to do some other text here. Can the government tell you what wife or husband you pick out? Professional and personal life is all about relationships. If the other party can meet minimum expectations of a partner, then you have to pick them whether you are attracted. Oh, this goes back to the thing about New York with the whole fat thing. Can you do the job? I use MS, period. I'm divorced and old. MRS and MISS don't fit. Make no mistake, no one ever calls me Miss. But when someone calls me Mrs., I smile. The person did not say something life-ending. Well, that's a great point, too. Repeat text from, I'm sorry, I can't read it all. There's too many. When I call or text your show, I expect you to address me as your master. My pronouns are master and them. Interesting. I, too, struggle with the pronoun situation. But like George, I have teenagers, too. They are more than happy to refer to any requested pronoun and find it completely normal. I have a feeling in 70 years, callers and texters against personal pronoun use will look a lot like the screaming white people standing behind George Wallace as... Yeah, because of that. Yeah. I think that's where we're headed, too. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, man. If we're able to redefine these terms now, I don't understand. Why would we draw the line at race and simply say, well, but race is different. Race is science. And you say, but gender is science. And they go, no, it used to be. But now we've split gender off of sex. Sex is science. Gender is not science. Sex is science. And so we're not going to... How do we know, man? And we don't do that anymore either, by the way, because the sex thing is no longer science, because you can go in and tinker around with the hardware and you can add this part and cut off that part and then change your sex. So why not race? If I go Soul Man, do you guys remember that movie? C. Thomas Howell and Air Gross from, and who else was in it? Tommy Chong's daughter, Radon Chong, was in that. If you, I don't even think you can show that movie on the CW, but if or the WB, if you did darken your skin, is that enough to say I just want to be treated like a black person? That seems to me to be crazy. If you could go through some sort of, what if we got to the point where you could have surgery to give you all the features and somehow some other thing of a person of a different race? Do you become that race? Is that where we're going? That nothing is a truth, because truth can always be changed into something else. Tell the dude they're only vaginas and penises, nothing else. I've heard that. Ben from Morrison has offended me, and I find his offenses as an act of violence. Oh, yeah. Please remind him that health care isn't a constitutional right. Agreed. A right is not something somebody can give you. I mean, let's just be clear about that. Second Amendment gives you the right to go possess a firearm. It doesn't give you the right to demand someone give you a firearm. Republicans lose elections and Ben gets closer to learning what happens to. Yeah, I just don't want to keep attacking Ben, because dude has the guts to call in and have a conversation, and a thoughtful one. We can disagree, but I need to have those kinds of conversations with you folks. So throwing rocks at Ben isn't a good move here. If you want to disagree with him, and some of you have, I totally respect that, because I disagree with him. But it can't be to name call and all that other stuff. That doesn't advance the ball for us. These are a demand. We recognize their reality at the expense of our reality. Mentally ill. Did I really hear an Adam and Eve ad earlier? Haha. I'll be honest, folks, I don't normally listen to the ads.
Can I jump in there?
Yeah, was there an Adam and Eve thing?
Yep.
What is that? What's the Adam and Eve thing?
Well, it was a commercial. That was.
What's it for?
I'm going through what at 9:30 in the morning is going to be acceptable, given the fact that my boss is probably 15 feet away out of the room.
He
at
doesn't
this point.
Listen either, though.
I know. It is a business that sells adult
what on our show
entertainment enhancements, I guess I would say.
Hold
so
on.
clothing liquids,
hold on, but they
things
advertise
you may attach
on
to
our
your,
show
not on purpose. And again,
what
Luke
does that
comes,
mean?
Well, it happened in the 7 o'clock hour, and Luke, hang on a second, I gotta grab this thing.
Yeah, there's another call coming in. That's weird, because I was told that there were some things we just couldn't have on the show.
Me too. And Lou comes down, and I didn't realize at first he was talking about something that aired on the airwaves. I thought he was talking about something that was on stream, because where
we can't.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, yeah, stream could. And then Crowley comes in. He's like, dude, you heard that? I'm like, wait, on air? And I went back to Lou, and Lou's like, on air? So, yeah, I'm going to have a conversation once we wrap up about how this went through. And okay, just as a side, the name of the company is Adam and Eve, which, again, I can obviously nobody listened
to dudette.
Well, nobody listened to the audio of the actual spot. It's not necessarily that racy, but it is out of bounds. And I'm assuming that all the people along the way, and I mean there are multiple people that had to have seen this contract and had to have seen the name of this advertiser before it was loaded in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a national ad, not a local one.
Oh.
This is national. Nothing that we have done. We have not sold this. It was sent from corporate.
That means we also don't get any of it.
Exactly. No money out of this one. So And so when it went through the system, I have a feeling because of the name sounds somewhat biblical, that individuals that did not know went through and let this go through. So again, I have so many questions.
Someone's the sales manager on that account, and there's no way they don't know what that's about.
And what, you know what, that's what I'm really embarrassed about? The fact that I had to explain the company to you. I don't know which one of us should be more embarrassed. The fact that I know exactly what it is, the fact that you don't.
Ignorance is bliss, baby.
I mean, again, this says so much about this show and why it works sometimes. I love you so much, George.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
I got
to
go talk to these people.
Thank you, Texter. There's a line open at 303-696-1971. It's either a line that belongs to Adam or Eve. Listen, I'm going to get right back to the phone lines here in just a second, but I have to tell you about Mitch Floria from The Art of Granite. And that's because this is the season that people do the interior up, you know, the remodel, the upgrading of the interior of their homes. And when you look around to do that, and by the way, man, finding contractors that do great work is its own issue. You don't need to do that with Mitch. His team does it. They don't just sell you stuff and say, have someone else install. They come in and install it themselves. And the selection that they have is redunculous. My best advice is you drive out there, especially if you're going to invest in a new kitchen cabinet. I'm sorry, new kitchen countertop or new bathroom countertop. Take the time to go out there and see what's available. And when you go check out Mitch's, a couple things strike you. One, oh my God, I didn't know things like this existed out of the earth. I didn't know man could make this because they do the marble and the granite and they do the quartz too, which is the man-made stuff. And then you talk to his folks that work the showroom. These folks are long-term employees. They're going to get you in front of Mitch, and beware. Once you meet Mitch and have a conversation with Mitch about the countertop, you are going to buy the countertop from Mitch. I dare you not to, frankly. I just don't think it can be done. Mitch is the kind of guy, by the way, who lives as much on word of mouth as he does on trying to get new customers in through advertising. And frankly, all the times I read for him, I feel great about it because I run into people here, there, and everywhere that are like, oh, you talk about Mitch. We used Mitch. Mitch upgraded our house. We love it. And here's the thing. Mitch loves us, too. He loves 710 KNUS and George listeners so much that if you just tell him that, you are a 710 listener, a George listener. He will give you the bathroom countertop for free with the kitchen countertop package. Or if you're only upgrading one room, he'll throw the sink in for free with the countertop package. That is awesome. Try him out at The Art of Granite. That's all one word. TheArtOfGranite.com. TheArtOfGranite.com. Or give him a call. It's the cell phone that he carries around with him. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Going right back to the phone lines. Bert from Aurora, you're on 710. Bert, what do you think?
Well, first of all, George, I appreciate you taking my call, but my preferred name is God, and I would appreciate if you would call me God. And if you don't do that, am I denying you your First Amendment right of freedom of speech?
I think, is God Mr. or Mrs.? I want to do this right. I don't want to oppress you or do violence to you.
Well, I appreciate that. But no, just God generally. But again, if you decide to call me Bert, and I demand you call me God, am I denying you your constitutional right of freedom of speech?
I don't think that's true because that, remember, and I'm being very precise here because it matters. That's a matter of the government telling you that, right? Like if the government dictates to you what you can or can't say, now we're at the First Amendment. If it's just straight up you're my definition of freedom of expression, does it impact my ability to express myself freely? Yeah, it does. Clearly it does.
And secondly, bear with me. I can't remember precisely, but I think I remember in my college anthropology class, aren't we all from Africa?
Oh, I don't remember. Like original man? I can't remember where
original
that happened.
Original man. Yeah.
I can't remember. I think Africa, that sounds right to me. But, we don't define African-American that way. I think it's interesting, too, because remember, African-American isn't a race. It can't be a race because there are black people all over the planet who aren't from America, right? So we're doing something else with those terms. They're really only the three races that I'm aware of, unless we've expanded them now and redefined them, but it's Caucasoid, Mongoloid, Negroid. Those are the only ones I'm aware of, and everything else spins off of that. And yet I wonder, Bert, if you called up and said, hey, I want you to call me God, and oh, by the way, I'm a black God, and you have to acknowledge that I'm a black God. Is that in the same zip code?
Or at least I'm an African-American God. Because we're all from Africa. According, and again, bear with me. I, I may be wrong. I went to college a long time ago.
Same.
So anyway, that was just my point. In terms of ridiculous requests, me asking you to call me God is in that same line of thought of what you've been addressing.
Bert, can I ask you, in your daily life or even your professional life outside of what you do around the neighborhood and stuff, have you run into someone that you are quite convinced is transgender or transvestite or whatever, cross-dresser, and how do you address them? When
are you still
that?
There?
I'm here. Okay. I'm here. How do you do? Right, how do you address them?
Well, I've only ran across it once, and it was at a drive-through, and I was being polite, and I said, "Thank you, sir, for my food." And the attendant, the server, said, and I forget exactly. Gave me the pronoun speech.
Yeah.
I prefer to be called as she.
Yeah.
And you know, I was kind of irritated with that, and I asked, I said, "Well, do you have a penis?" And he said, "She," or whatever you want to, you know, said yes. I said, "Well, then thank you, sir," and I drove off.
And so in that conversation that you had with them, is there a winner and a loser? Is there a positive or a negative that grew out of that, and what is it?
Obviously, as Ben would say, I was being an ass, and I will admit that. I was also initially being grateful by saying thank you. And the idea that he was splitting hairs by me saying it hurt him, again, I can't even figure out what the right one is, how she wanted to be addressed was taking it a little too far, considering I was just getting a Big Mac.
So you thought she was the one that got aggressive with you in terms of saying, "Hey, man, you called me by the wrong pronouns," or whatever it was.
Well, by CU definition, yes, I guess it would be aggressive. I would not have taken it as aggressive. I looked at it like, really, I just want to thank you for providing me lunch, and let's not split hairs about your pronoun. And I took it to, you know, another level by being a jerk, or as Ben would say, an ass, by saying, "Do you have a penis?"
Bert, if they had led with that, like if you had, and you were trying to be polite, if they had began with, "Hey, I prefer to be," so I don't know how it comes up, by the way, when you're buying a burger, but let's pretend for a moment.
Right.
And they'd said, "Hey, I prefer to be referred to as she or her." Would you have done it, or would you have said, "I'm sorry, man, you've got junk or whatever it is, and I'm going to call you a dude"? What would you have done?
I would have asked for their first name and avoided me lying to them and them being offended. All right, what's your first name? George? Okay, George, I'm not going to use pronouns with you because I want to say he.
Yeah.
You want me to say she, I'm going to call you George. That's your name, right, George?
Well, it is if I say it is. It could be God. Hey, Bert, have a great weekend and have a meaningful Memorial Day, okay? See you, Bert. Thanks. Hey, Bert from Aurora's line is open at 303-696-1971. Barb, I promise we're going to get to you and the others calling in right now. A couple texts, and then we got to cut away for a quick break. Someone's texting in, this isn't going to send you into depression or potential suicidal ideation, so it's different. Target stock is tanking. The common sense masses are speaking, and corporations better start listening. Another one. Don't know if Rumble Chat is working, so I'll resend a text here. In George Orwell's 1984, the words "war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength" are the official slogans of the party and are inscribed in massive letters on the White Pyramid of the Ministry of Truth. In Book 1, Chapter 7, Orwell writes this: "In the end, the party would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it." I wonder, is this where we're at? Someone says, "Let's stop celebrating mental disorders." Seems pretty obvious. Someone else, "So if Ben mocks you behind your back, then he must be a violent person." I'm not sure that would be violent. I mean, it would certainly be disrespectful, but if I don't know it, is it disrespectful to me? Is it violence to me if I don't know that he doesn't get it or doesn't agree or crap talks me? I don't know. When I was a child, I learned the old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." We seem to have lost that understanding of calling someone the wrong pronoun is considered violence. I get that, too. If you guys compile a Best of George show, this conversation with Don should be on there. That was hilarious. Going forward, what is the concept of legal identity? Will it now be fluid? Our society is based on documented birth certificates. Gender is specified on the certificate and the name that we carry throughout life, unless, of course, it's changed. The indefinite personhood is going to cause a lot of psychological problems, especially among the young. We're supposed to turn in bewilderment to educational and government entities for all our social guidelines. This must be resisted. A lot more text to get through. And of course, Barb from Denver, we're going to get to her as well. Let's cut away for that final break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the show with Barb, you and me. It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS. You're at the caboose of the crazy train right here. It's the last segment of the last hour of the last show of the week, and it's the last Friday show in May. George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. Going to go right to the phone lines. Barb from Denver, you're on 710 KNUS. Barb, what do you think?
George, I'm honored to be the caboose.
You are the caboose. But if you wanted to call yourself the engine, we'd probably call you that too.
Okay, thank you. I am the lady that when I see you in the community, I always ask you about Amanda.
Oh, yeah. So thank you for doing that.
That may tell you who I am.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go back many years to, I had a child that graduated from high school in 91.
Okay.
And he was being given a nice community honor, and he came to me and he said, Mom, what would you think if I wore my hair in dreadlocks? And I said, well, that would be an interesting look with your tuxedo, but you know what? That's your choice, and you can do what you think you want to do, and when you're 45 or whatever, you're going to look back and say, holy smokes, I wish I hadn't done that. So, but I walked it through with him to say there are consequences to this kind of behavior, and if that's what you choose to do, then go for it. It's your hair. The other thing that he came to me and he said,
Do you feel like that's enough down the road, though? I mean, what if your son had come to you and said, not only do I want to wear my hair this way, I want you to acknowledge me as a woman and I want you to call me he and she, or she and her and all that other stuff.
Okay, well, that's the last part of what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
The second one was he wanted to do tattoos and he chose to do a sun around his belly button.
Huh.
And so when he came home with that, I said, well, you're going to the consequence of this is it's going to be about five times the size of when you put it on when you were 18. But that's your choice.
And how'd that turn out?
Well, not so good, but he doesn't like it much. But the other thing, George, that I've worked and volunteered a lot in the field of mental health. And I've read and I've learned and I've discussed this with people who know the maturation of the brain for kids that are this age. They aren't really mature until they're 22.
Well, Barb, we lost you for a couple seconds.
I know it. I think I have a spam call, but I'm going to ignore that. Anyway, the human brain is not mature at this point. And so these kids at CU want to be called Z.
Yeah.
I heard that at the very beginning of your whole morning's discussion.
Yep, Z. Z-E and then Zier, Z-I-R, and then something else I forget.
Well, what are they going to think when they're mature people and their kids come to them and they want to do stuff and they look back and they say, golly, I went through that same thing. Why did the officials and the administrators at CU let us do this?
I wonder, can I get back to the other question, though? The tattoo thing, I get it. I would counsel my kids to, hey, pretty please don't get a tattoo. You're going to regret
this.
Right. And they're prepared for that. But what if he came to you and said, I just want you to acknowledge me as a woman, Mom, and I want you to start calling me Becky or whatever name they choose and all that other stuff. What would you do with that?
And the first thing that came to my mind was, and I'm a woman of faith, and I would say I've changed your diaper too many times in my life to know that you're not a girl.
Okay,
you're a boy.
But he says, but Mom,
and God made you
Mom,
a
you're,
boy.
You're oppressing me and doing violence by me and not acknowledging that. Can't you just please call me she or her or whatever it is?
And I would say, no. Oh, I almost said his name. No, I'm not going to do that because...
What if it's visibly causing him angst? And I mean, I'm talking about like it's sending him into a depression. It hurts him. And he tells you, Mom, it hurts me when you don't do that. What do you do with that?
Well, then I would say, you know, I've worked in the area of mental health for so many years. Let's see if we can find somebody to help you with this. You're not
I
a
get
girl,
that.
And I love you, but God made you a man, and I'm not going to hurt him. I'd say to him, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to depress you. I don't want you to consider suicide. I'm here as your parent to help you. And
Barb, this might be a different topic too, but it's related. And that is, and Billy asked this question also, and that is, could God, presuming that God doesn't make any mistakes, right? Could God make someone a boy who is transgender, who should be a girl, or is, do you see what I'm saying? Like, these things don't just happen by, how do you address that part?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that have professed this, George, and later they come back and say, I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
It has wrecked my whole life.
That defines pretty much from about age 17 until right now for me. I mean, there are so many times I've said the phrase, God, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm so sorry.
Right.
But it's still free will, and I'm still on the hook for it. But first off, I love the respectful conversation, Barb, and I appreciate the answers. I'm not sure mine would be very different as a parent. But again, that final thing, like if somebody showed up and said, I'm this different, I don't know what I'd do. I can't want to hurt the kids, but at the same time, I don't want to get stuck having to acknowledge something where I'm like, I just don't think that's real. It's a tough one, Barb. I don't think there's any easy answer here.
I agree with that. But the other thing that I think too, and I thought so often recently, what has happened to common sense? People don't have common sense, and that is a form of intelligence. Common sense is one aspect of your intelligence. What has happened to people that are they dragged off into an arena by their peers and convinced that it's okay to do that?
I don't know. I think that's a fair question, too. I imagine we're going to redefine common sense as well, because we seem to be redefining so many terms. I don't know where this thing ends. Barb, listen, have a great weekend. You talked us through the end of the show. You've been a great caboose for us.
Thank you, George. You have a nice weekend, too.
Have a meaningful Memorial Day. That was Barb. Barb's line is now gone, but don't call in because we only have mere seconds left. Listen, folks, this is, again, it's one of those shows where it feels like the less we try to force a topic and plan for something, the better you guys are at just simply jumping in and responding to these things. I thought the phone calls were great. I love the fact that people who disagree with me take me on the phone. And it's not in an aggressive way, but in a let's have this damn conversation kind of way. I like that, because where else can you do this? Do you feel comfortable doing this with your neighbors? Do you worry about alienating them? You don't have to worry about alienating me. Pick up the phone and call me. Here's the deal, folks. On Tuesday, when we come back, we are going to have a transgender person right here in the studio, and we're going to have this conversation at the next level, and that is face to face and with you as well. So you stick around and join us for that. We got Deb at 3, Stefan at 4. It's George Brockler, 710. Have a meaningful Memorial Day, KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.